society is how it treats its women and girls.
Clutch your pearls and hide your children. It's another episode of Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5. My name is Liz Lanier. I am one of your hosts today. And joining me in the studio is my surly co-host, Donna Davis.
What's up?
Oh my gosh, so much is up that we're going to talk about. But first, let me issue the surly disclaimer.
Yeah.
The opinions expressed on Surly Voices are the opinions of the Surly Feminists Revolution, and they are not necessarily the opinions of WMNF Tampa 88.5. And the reason I say that is because in the recent history of Surly Voices, we have taken some heat for using less than dulcet tones when talking about the goings on of the current regime. And so I fully expect we will hear that again today, although I hope after last Wednesday, everybody sees why we are using such stringent language. And we have a special guest coming up who is going to talk with us about something that Donna certainly and I have also seen firsthand, is the rise of white supremacy in the United States in the past, especially in the past couple of years. And so we're real excited he'll be joining us in a few minutes. Donna, what's your take on everything going on today?
Well, everything going on in the world.
Let's stick with the U.S. I think okay, we got plenty to chew on there, right?
Okay, I got excited. All right. It's just it's a smorgasbord, right? All right. So I am disappointed that it took us 11 months and 16 days to decide that 45 was problematic.
Mm-hmm.
He was never well. He wasn't well when he was campaigning. He is less well now. I'm not a doctor, but there's something amiss. And it harmed a lot of people and resulted in literally right now. I mean, Fauci told us 150,000 in the beginning, and then he upped it to 269, and then he said, I overestimated, we'll be fine. And now we're over 300,000, pushing into 400,000. Where are we going to get stop at 500,000? Hundreds of thousands of lives he's responsible for. And we wait until all those people are dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, frozen bodies in New York City.
Yeah,
we're still scarred by this.
Hospitals in Los Angeles closed down and diverting ambulance traffic.
And until they were knocking on, until his minions were knocking on the door of those representatives, they could not understand, because they were protected and insulated from the harm that he caused. And I am disappointed and I am angry.
And I certainly share your anger. But what angers me even more is there are still people out there who are like on the fence, and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, we don't know who to believe. Well, believe your eyes. Believe what you're seeing, you know, in real time. So it's amazing to me. And that there was no police presence to speak of. What do you think about that, Donna?
It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't an accident. Like the security around the nation's capital is, you know, about as tight as it can get. You know, there's Secret Service people. The Capitol has its own police force, which if we didn't know, we now know. In a situation where rioters had all over Parler. I mean, when they monitor, there's a big complex in Colorado, and they monitor the social media and phone conversations for certain words, which puts this call now in another category, which they later begin to filter through as the patterns emerge. And so Parler had to be like a clearinghouse for all of these threats of violence, and the government knew it was happening. And I don't want to be abstract by saying the government. The FBI, the White House, the Department of Justice, and military intelligence all knew this was happening. And they did not prepare the way they clearly prepared for Black Lives Matter. And we're not going to rehash that because everybody knows what that is. So there's no need for us to even state it.
We'll circle back to that after we speak with our special guest today. Joining us on the phone is Lonnie Wilk. And Lonnie is the Senior Associate Director of the Anti-Defamation League for Florida Region. Hi, Lonnie.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time and helping us discuss the rise of white supremacy in the last several years. And so I'll let you take it away, and I know you've got some statistics showing it. I know the Department of Homeland Security called white supremacy one of the biggest dangers to the United States, and that was just last year. So and we're hardly into the new year yet. So
ADL, and by the way, thank you again for having me today to be able to speak to your audience. The ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, we monitor extremism of every kind, from the left to the right, everything in between. And over the last few years, we've definitely noted a rise in activity among the extreme right, including not solely, but including the white supremacist movement. We have really seen, we've got a lot of concerns about the willingness of extremists or individuals that have extremist ideologies to move from speech to action. And we clearly saw that in the coup attempt that we saw in Washington on the 6th. One thing that I think is extremely important, as we look at the world of extremism and what the levels are, what we're concerned about, but one thing that is clearly necessary, we have a significant lack of reporting of crimes committed on the basis of bias or hate to law enforcement and from law enforcement to the FBI. There is no mandate for local law enforcement agencies to report hate crimes to the FBI. It's recommended and encouraged, but we have a great number of municipalities throughout the state of Florida, for example, who either do not report the hate crimes in their region, or actively report zero, which is a problem.
Wow!
But we also have barriers for people to report extremism, hate crimes to law enforcement. So, one thing that for the listening audience that I would highly recommend: when you see something, say something. When you see extremists in the community, you can flag their expressions, their actions. When there are crimes that are committed, report those. Report those to law enforcement. When necessary, you can report them to ADL, but we and law enforcement can't address what we don't know about. So having clear reporting is vital. Now, with here in Florida, as an example, the total number of hate crimes actually dropped slightly from in 2019 increased from 2018 to 2019. But again, we saw a significant lack of reporting, and not every hate crime is perpetrated by extremists, but we do have extremist groups throughout the region that we are paying attention to.
So the numbers are likely higher than what we see because of the underreporting.
Correct. And it is definitely concerning when we look throughout the greater Tampa area, throughout the state of Florida, we do have extremist groups like the Proud Boys, like Patriot Front, like Folks Front, like the, even though it's named for another, or we're referencing another state, the New Jersey European Heritage Association, League of the South. All of these groups have, in one way or another, a presence in the state. Some are referenced in vandalism, distribution of propaganda materials. It's definitely of increasing concern.
Do you look at all, or do you monitor certain groups infiltrating other groups?
We look at a great deal of groups, and you know, one thing that I think is important to point out in the way that many extremist groups operate, they will go on, as it was coming on, I heard the conversation was talking about Parler. There are many of these social media platforms that have very lax and very free speech protocols. So a number of individuals that are either of or belong to right-wing extremist groups or agree with those types of ideologies will flock to those sites when they get removed from mainstream sites. And in many cases, we have instances of extremist groups, white supremacist groups, and individuals affiliated with them going onto these platforms and highlighting and talking about what they did. It's in many cases, it's a source of pride. And we've seen that, I think, play out across the country, where we've seen numerous examples of individuals that were involved in the, January 6th, coup attempt up in Washington, actually posting about what they have done with, as a mark of pride in order to boast. It's a definite increasing concern. What is also important to point out is that there are a great number of individuals that are becoming radicalized online that are not necessarily affiliated themselves with any of the groups that I mentioned earlier or any or many others, but people will go on and see and become indoctrinated. We have the example of Dylann Roof, who, if you recall, attacked the AME church in South Carolina. It doesn't appear at this point that he had any extremist group affiliation. The evidence is indicating that he was very much radicalized online. But one other component there to get to back to your question is not all extremist groups agree with each other, get along. Mm-hmm. And so we had in some cases there is crossover between extremist groups. In other cases, there's a great deal of animosity. So it's not necessarily cut and dry.
Right. And the ADL has a really great website that tells you about the different extremist groups and has a lot of other great information. What can listeners do, Lonnie, to educate themselves about extremist groups and how to fight against them?
So I think there's a handful of key components. One is, as you said, education based on primary resources is vital. In today's day and age, there is a distrust tendency. There's the conspiracy theories that have largely been led or fed by extremist ideas, anti-Semitic, racist, homophobic ideas. So it's vital to become educated, but to look at various viewpoints, but also to recognize what is a primary source of information as opposed to an opinion or or someone's thoughts or pontifications. It's vital, you know, to go back to that high school history class where where your teacher would tell you what's the primary source. That is vital. A couple of other things that I would highly suggest is to advocate. We have issues here in the state of Florida. For example, the Florida hate crime law. We are thankfully one of the states that has. There's still a few states that don't have any hate crime law, but our hate crime law is not comprehensive. So gender is not covered at all. Gender identity is not covered, and disability is very weak. So we are really looking this legislative session to ramp up our advocacy efforts regarding hate crime law. The other two components, I think, are civility and compassion. When there is a vandalism in the community of a mosque, of a synagogue, of a church, of a LGBT center, of a of any minority group that is targeted, pick up the phone, call them, show a measure of solidarity. I cannot tell you how many times I've done that, being at ADL and being told, "Oh, thank you so much for contacting us. You're the first call we've gotten. No one else has contacted us." It is when there is a community that is targeted with extremism, it's not just a synagogue or a mosque that is being targeted. It's an entire community. It's not just a building. It's not just an individual that is being targeted. Hate crimes, by and large, target are message crimes. They're seeking to send messages to entire communities. And so we should have community responses when there is a measure, an incident of extremism. If you can, reach out and show civility and compassion.
That's an awesome suggestion, because it's easy to do. You can drop an email, drop a phone call, and it is very important. You're right, to show solidarity on behalf of the community. Any last words before we let you go, Lonnie?
I would just say that obviously moving forward, we do have significant concerns about extremism across the country, in our state, and ADL will be there to monitor, to investigate, and to educate the community regarding hate and bias, and we will do everything we can, and we thank you again for having me on today to make sure that our community and that our state is no place for hate.
I have one question before you run away, Lonnie. My question is, it feels like we may be coming upon some of the violence, type of violence that we saw after 9/11. How can our listeners protect themselves, and should they be concerned?
So, very good question. It was interesting. One of the first hate crimes that transpired after 9/11 took place in Arizona. And a man who was Sikh was targeted by an individual and murdered, thinking that he was Muslim.
I remember that.
And that shocked a lot of people on a lot of different levels. I think that, number one, community solidarity against hate is vital. As I said, when we have a community targeted, if the Jewish community is targeted, it's definitely sending a message to the Jewish community, but it, in essence, it's really sending a larger message to minorities of all kinds. It's very rare that people who are of the extremist persuasion will hate only one group.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we, you know, when we look at the larger world of extremism, we have, you know, our, one of our biggest concerns over the last 15, 20 years has been social media, has been the ability of extremists, whereas in generations past, the Klan would hold a rally and they would get some, maybe a little bit of publicity out of it, but it was a limited event. Now, an individual can have a global audience by sitting at their keyboard or on their cell phone.
Right.
So what I would encourage people to do is when you see, and we've all seen this, so on an individual level, when you see someone on Facebook, on social media, who is espousing hate, extremism, flag it. Let these social media companies know. If it's someone you know that is making those comments, a friend, a family member, an acquaintance, think about what you know, all of us have gotten into Facebook comment confrontations, sometimes with family members. Have a conversation. It's very difficult to defuse hate and bigotry when you're in the comment section of Facebook or replying on Twitter. Have a one-on-one interaction with them. Send a message. Have a phone call. And instead of saying to the person, you're a racist, you're a homophobe, you're an anti-Semite, you're an Islamophobe, say, you can say, look, what you said, what you posted, came across to me as anti-Semitic. Let me tell you why, and because I want to talk about it, and I don't know if this is what you intended. It's an opportunity to give the person a moment to reflect on what they said or what they did without being put into that psychological defense mechanism of being labeled. So, I hope, you know, moving forward, we have less of those, we are definitely, definitely concerned about extremism on social media and the increased prevalence of people to people who aren't otherwise extremists to espouse those kind of things on social media.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you so much again for joining us, Lonnie. This again was Lonnie Wilk. He is the Senior Associate Director of the Anti-Defamation League in the Florida region. Thanks so much, and we really appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5. You can give us a call at 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. We've got Chris hanging on here. I see he's been on for a bit.
Yeah.
So let's get him on.
Hey, Chris.
You got to punch him in first. Hi, Chris.
Oh, hi. I wanted to say to Lonnie that a lot of these social media platforms are banning folks of any political persuasion. It doesn't matter what it is, if you're politically involved, if you're fighting corruption, they're abandoning them because for many years they've been so ruthlessly moderated, just banning posts for no good reason that include only primary sources often. And that's what is extremist, when people can't talk to each other, when they can't persuade each other, when you don't believe in your own power of persuasion because the platform is going to ban you or has, you know, suspended your access, put you in Facebook jail for a period of time. And, you know, some people will tough it out and come back, but a lot of people are just going to these other platforms like Gab and Minds and Discord and MeWe. And, you know, these primary sources, I've experienced being banned just recently. I'm citing FDA's website, Pfizer's, Moderna's, World Health Organization, CDC, and often they don't agree with themselves. They have different pages that disagree with, on their own website, they disagree with themselves or they disagree with each other. Like right. The term for herd immunity, the World Health Organization changed to be both vaccine-induced and natural immunity.
So question.
And they removed that.
I have a question for you, Chris.
And then they changed it back again. Go right ahead.
What do you think, how much surveillance and government intervention, do you have any concerns about the infringement of free speech and what a slippery slope that is?
Well, absolutely. That's really concerned me since I've seen Parler banned. I've always known it's been a problem that, if you're building on rented property, unless you own your own web server, and I'm considering changing my servers over to Iceland or maybe Netherlands, and as a backup, being able to operate my own, I'm looking at other options. It's just because it's so alarming that you see this all. I've been seeing it for over 10 years, but it's been it's gotten really bad, and it's something that these other platforms, I don't know if they're safe. You can access a lot of the information if you're on a VPN, which is a virtual network, or you can make it look like you're accessing a website from another country. It reroutes your access, so you can get access to information that you wouldn't normally be able to get.
Right.
These are all these options that allow people to get around.
But Chris, we have quite a number of people holding, and we want to give everybody an opportunity to share their thoughts. But thank you for calling in. We're here week after next. Give us a call back.
Yeah, and I'll talk about free speech in a minute, but let's get to Tom in Winter Haven. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I just thought I'd extend on your subject that you're talking so well on today. In Polk County, we have, and I've talked to Rob about this in the past, and he didn't realize it or didn't believe it, that we have an organization in Polk County that's centered here. It's called the KKK.
Oh, I imagine you do, yeah.
Yeah.
Shocker.
Exactly. Big shock. And the head of the KKK is a barber over in Lake Wales. It's a secret organization, but they are here and they are busy. They kicked butt in the last election by going door to door. And that's something that's against the pandemic situation. But they went door to door and they were paid to do it. So there's no misunderstanding as to how the Trump won Polk County. Go around and look at the signs that are still up that say Trump, that if you want to see evidence of the KKK in every community.
Oh, yeah.
Lakeland or Winter Haven or Lake Wales.
Tampa.
Tampa, exactly. They're everywhere. And we recall before the election who had tents along the highway selling all their paraphernalia and so forth. This was the KKK.
All right. What happened to Tom?
It's an accident. Tom, call us back, and we'll bring you back through. Sorry about that.
Yeah. We're not the most tech savvy.
We're doing our own tech here.
Yeah.
And we have issues. Now, Tom, we can hear you. We heard you. If you need to call us back, finish your thought, call us back. I want to speak to that in case he is calling us back. I want to talk about what he's saying. He is saying what people did not want to believe a few years ago. You know, he's sitting right there looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, these people are literally like a hate group that are like canvassing.
Right.
In the open.
Yeah.
and
the
no
only thing
one
was missing
me.
Was the hoods, I guess, in broad right. daylight, you know?
And so he's saying, look, ladies, this is a thing.
Right.
It's a thing that's happening. And not only is it happening, they are starting to normalize their presence.
Right.
This is dangerous.
Absolutely. Let's get to Ted in Ellenton, and then we have to read some emails because I see they're stacking up.
We'll see.
Hi, Ted.
I just want to say this. My wife's got a hood and a sheet.
Is she in the KKK?
Yeah.
Is she really?
Well, close. I always tell her, I go, honey, wait, the cleaner just called. Your sheet and your hood are ready.
Wow. And so you're still
happily married 28 years.
Wow.
Well, 19 of them, happily.
19 of, oh.
and she goes, why do you say that? I said, it's called a joke, Jeremy. Get the stick out of your butt.
So you, yeah. So you're calling to practice your jokes on us. Got it.
Your show. I want to compliment you.
Thank you.
Because I gave you a second chance.
Oh, awesome.
About 3 weeks ago. I'm from the great state of New York. And the capital. You know where that is?
Yes.
Oh, where is it?
New York is, wait, now you put me on the spot. Albany.
Yes, that's right. Under the great tutorship of Andrew Cuomo, who I had discussions about, but we were not going to go there. And I love this show. If you're ever short of money on the pledge drive,
okay,
just tell Laura that he'll pick up the check.
Awesome. You hear that, Rob? Ted's paying for us.
No, I'm not paying for all of it.
The whole studio.
He's just paying for our show.
Nope, too late. He said it.
2 years ago on John's show, and I'm going, I might have gone a little bit too far on this one.
I don't know. You know, we're going to let you pay for the whole thing, though. We're going to get the whole checkbook.
We appreciate you calling,
no,
Ted.
No, you can have the whole checkbook, but I just don't need any more CDs.
All right. We got it.
Bye.
All right, call us back
thanks,
soon.
Ted.
All right, I'm going to rush through some of these. I do my lightning round emails,
yes,
right? And so I like this email. David Bryant says, thanks so much for this discussion today. How do we exercise the extremist Trumpster cancer from military, police, and fire folks? They're the ones who worry me the most.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, David, I'm black. That has always been a thing. Like,
wait, are you saying David's black or
no?
I'm
black.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not David. I don't know if the David is black.
Yeah.
But from my perspective, we have always seen the military types, first responders. Those are your paramilitary force folks. A lot of which you saw at the Capitol the other day have taken a serious position of ownership, usually in rural, semi-rural areas. People who are legalistic about their religious beliefs. And all of that blends into a nice mixture where folks are like, you know, it's patria, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to defend homeland. They believe that it is their duty to do so. There's usually xenophobia, racism, misogyny, homophobia, to name a few. And it's something that we've always had. I mean, that's why BLM is fighting with the police, right? Because
mm-hmm.
we believe that whole patria and all of those isms are tied into that. I think that we continue to do the work of saying that we matter and that by extension, all lives matter. I think that we continue to have the conversations that attorney Lenny was telling us about, talking to people and not pointing the finger at them and arguing with them, but asking them to explain their positions.
Yeah.
So that they have an opportunity. It's like therapy, right? So that you have an opportunity to work out how you're entering this conversation.
Right.
Liz, you have anything?
The thing that I have, I was going to drop some knowledge in about First Amendment free speech versus commercial platforms. But I think we're going to defer that to another time because we've got so many people calling us about white supremacy. So what we'll do is we'll get our con law professor on here for the next go round. And she can, that's Professor Jossie Hardrick. We'll get her back on and have her talk about free speech, the right to free speech versus commercial platforms, terms of usage, things like that. Because a lot of the things that people are going around clutching their pearls about, my free speech rights are being violated. No, your free speech rights are not violated until the government censors your speech. And that's when you might have an issue. But we'll get Professor Hardrick on to talk about that.
So I have an announcement here. It is Zoom events. I know a lot of us are stuck in the house. And this is Good Vibes with Friends. It happens at 7 p.m. on Tuesday and Friday nights. If you would like the information and the link to join, the types of things that we're talking about are helping people learning to be fit and active, all ages, parents, grandparents. Also on Friday, there's Good Vibes at 7 p.m. On Monday, there's Sweating with Sunshine. On Tuesday, USF Let's Read. Sunday, Parent Support Meeting. And Friday, Miss Bonnie's Arts and Crafts. So if you're at home and you need something to do that's productive and that's going to keep your brain cells and
Miss Bonnie's Arts and Crafts sounds awesome.
Yeah. So email us or text us and we'll get you this. We'll email you back this link so that you can join in on these Zoom activities.
All right. So let's get to Camilla in Clearwater.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. You know, a quick note, the day of the Capitol insurrection, I cried all the way home from work. During this whole craziness with the difference of opinions and the election stolen and this and that, you know, normally I'm pretty politically active, you know, as far as, you know, getting out with signs and things like that, but I've been afraid this entire time to really speak out. I've been afraid to speak out online. I've been afraid to speak out in person. You know, I work with a lot of people who believe that the election was stolen still, even though there's been zero evidence.
Right.
And, you know, on Saturday, I was driving past the Tarpon Springs campus of St. Pete College there at 19 in Klosterman, and there was a pro-Trump rally going on, and there was a gentleman out there with, I shouldn't say gentleman, standing out there with a sign that says Civil War II. And after what had happened at the Capitol, I mean, that was basically, you know, inciting insurrection even further. And so, you know, I called Pinellas County Sheriff's, and they said, you know, we're not going to do anything about it. And the Tarpon Springs, they transferred me to Tarpon Springs Police. Tarpon Springs Police said they're not going to do anything about it. And it just seems like, you know, we're in an environment now where, you know, people are like, you know what, whatever, just let these people do what the heck they're going to do. And we're just giving them a pass. I mean, looking at the charges that were filed against these insurrectionists in the Capitol, they're diddly charges. Why are they not being charged with domestic terrorism? What is going on that you know, everybody just gets, you know, a token charge and that's it. And
then letting them out on $25,000 bail, which is practically nothing in the world of bail.
Seriously, it's ridiculous. And, you know, it just, it frightens me that so many people have literally been brainwashed. And, you know, we're living in a frightening time, and we're at a time that, you know, I'm not a Democrat. I'm just, you know, I don't claim a party affiliation, but, you know, my beliefs are along the Democratic lines. And, you know, for people like me to be afraid of my neighbors, I'm afraid of my neighbors. I live in a 55 and up community where we're not even allowed to have signs or anything in our yard. And people are flying huge Trump flags and management giving them a pass. I started locking my doors again.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why should we have to live in fear of our neighbors? And how is it that our neighbors and have been so brainwashed and believe something so vehemently that it's just definitely false?
Well, that's the million-dollar question,
yeah.
Camilla.
Yeah.
That's the million-dollar question. And we thank you for weighing in with us today on Surly Feminists for the Revolution.
Thank you.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks and give us another call.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But
thank you
for calling, Camilla.
Thank you.
But yeah, that's, and she raises a very important point. It's how have these people been so programmed? And so we're looking for a psychology and a sociologist professors to be able to help us find our way through that maze. You're listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5, Surly Voices by Surly Feminists for the Revolution. We're talking about the rise of white supremacy and the role it played in the attempted coup last week. And yes, it was an attempted coup. It was not a riot or an uprising.
Mm-hmm. It was sedition.
It was sedition. And again, the Surly disclaimer, the views expressed on Surly Voices
are ours alone.
Are ours alone and not necessarily those of WMNF Tampa 88.5.
Now, speaking of which, I've been wanting to get on my soapbox for a minute. Well, we had such a great show, you know, I didn't want to, you know, I don't know that my ideas are as good as some of what I've heard today. But I'm going to take 2 minutes to get on my soapbox.
Okay.
Bear with me. Now,
time for Donna's soapbox. We need to have like a little thing. Bubbles
really
or something.
Do.
Yeah.
Okay. So last week, I make no bones about my affiliation with BLM. And last week we saw that 5 people were killed in the nation's capital.
And only one of those was shot by police.
Only one was shot by police. And that's amazing because they were literally overtaking what is should be the citadel of America.
The most hallowed halls.
Yeah, of the United States. And so that was interesting that, you know, nobody got shot and people were allowed to behave that way. But we know what that is, so we won't waste time there. We've been over that before.
Yes.
But I want to talk about my personal response to seeing a police officer face down on the ground, being encroached upon by a mob.
Because Blue Lives Matter, you
know. Now, you know, I've made no bones about, you know, not being chummy with police.
Yes.
But in my mind, when I saw that picture, it broke me down. Because we're supposed to be a nation of laws moving towards that evolution, you know, a more perfect union. And what I saw, you gotta forgive me because I've never been emotional on air, but it could happen today.
Yeah.
All right? But what I saw that day was I had the same feeling, and it shocked me because I had the same feeling that I had when I tried to watch the George Floyd video.
Oh.
That I never made it through. I don't watch those videos, y'all. Don't send them to me, okay?
Yeah.
Because I can't be more outraged than I am, and it just traumatizes, re-traumatizes. And so I saw this picture and unexpectedly came apart at the seams. I thought I collected myself and got it together. And then I tried to talk to my 20-year-old son about it. And I broke down.
Oh.
Because this is not the world that I want him to live in. What if he wants to be a police officer? You know, you get a robot or a rebel, right? And then he could become a cop. And he gets up, sees his kids off to school, drives to the car, kisses his wife or his husband, goes into to the station, says hi to the lady at the desk, you know, that's eating her morning croissant, and puts his lunch in the refrigerator and goes to work with his coffee mug and is beaten to death.
A young guy, too, in former military and everything, yeah.
I want y'all to think about the way we're thinking about free speech and what it means when we start censoring other people, because I know these people are dangerous. And we have a law against hate speech and terroristic threats. That's another range. That's against the law. But just people saying that they hate a certain group of people in a private forum, I'm not sure about that. But let me tell you how this works. When I saw that video of that man, I did not see his uniform. I've never said that before in my life. It was a transformational moment for me. It's what, when indigenous people say, Matakwiasi, all my relations, we are all related. At the end of the day, if we cannot figure out how to get along and how to love each other, and I'm not going all mushy on you, trust me, I am ready to throw down if that's what it takes. But I want you to hear me when I say that if none of us are safe in a world where a man can be kneeled on for 9 minutes while people stand around and look on, a man who did not commit a crime that day, another man that did not commit a crime that day, right? Perhaps he's in a guild that I think is misguided.
Mm-hmm.
It does not negate the fact that he was a human being who was at work, a working
middle-class American doing his job, and he was murdered. Now, I'm not sure if that cop, before you call me with this, I'm not sure that the cop that was face down on the ground was the cop who was hit by a fire extinguisher, went back to the station and died. I don't know that this is the same person. We haven't been able to figure it out. TMZ said it's suspected, but we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you, I am still not okay. I still cannot talk about that without crying. I've seen a lot of trauma. I've been traumatized by a lot of scenes of police brutality, people close to me who've witnessed police brutality. And I'm going to stop, but just let me finish here. But that hurt my soul. And I felt helpless. And I felt like all of the things that we have done as a community, Liz, you've been a part of that. People who are listening have been a part of that. And I felt like all of the things that we're doing has come to naught, because you can still go to work and be killed by a mob in one of the most secure places in the world because white supremacy is holding sway. Call me and tell us, talk about it.
100%, 100%. And see, that is what I keep telling people. It's like, I don't care if you're left, if you're right, if you're middle, if you voted for Trump, if you didn't vote for Trump. Wednesday should have been a hard line in the sand. When any group is allowed to storm one of the most sacred places of our government, seat of our government, and disrupt and threaten and defile and desecrate, that is wrong. And there should be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Nobody should be celebrating that. And that's my two cents on that.
It's rough out here, y'all. Rob and Thorno Tasasa. Rob, we're going to give everybody 1 minute so that we can get through all of the callers, okay?
All right, I've really enjoyed your guest, and I wanted to point out something about how what he said is exactly right about being radicalized on the internet. And the irony is that this is the exact same thing that happened with many Muslims who ended up doing terroristic acts. They were not radicals. They got on these extreme websites run by ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and the next thing you know, making violent acts. And the irony is that people now who have been radicalized by starting with Alex Jones and then going to all the various ones, they don't realize that they're the polar opposite, but exactly the same as the very people they would, condemn, and they don't know it. Mm-hmm. They don't know that it's the same mentality. And Alex Jones, the whole idea of taking words like tyranny and patriot and sort of abducting them and twisting to mean something else, this is exactly it. These people, a lot of these folks think that they're really the true patriots and everybody else is not. I mean, I have a friend who's right down that rabbit hole, and I said, look, I side with Mitch McConnell, and I'm not a Republican.
Lord, don't get me started on Mitch McConnell.
We gotta hold you right there, and we want you to stay with us and come back in 2 weeks. Rob, thank you for calling in today.
Sure.
We got
sure.
you.
Yep.
All right. All right, Kevin in Palm Harbor, 1 minute. Y'all try to keep it tight so we can get everybody in.
Lightning round.
Kevin.
Yes. Yeah, this is Kevin in Palm Harbor.
Okay. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm just listening to you. At first, I thought when they censored or they cut him off from, Trump from his social media, I thought that was, in a way, I thought it was wrong, even though I don't like the guy at all. But then I thought, there has to be a simple line you cross when you should be censored. I thought freedom of speech, right, that's one thing. But there has to be a line that you cross when you go too far.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, when you start inciting violence, telling like
absolutely
a bunch of people,
mm-hmm.
yeah, there. Once you start, start, because what about pedophiles and all other types of groups?
Right.
There has to be a line you cross and that says, no, that's not freedom of speech.
Yeah, we got
it's actually... You've gone too far.
You've gone too far. Thank you, Kevin.
Right.
We're going to go on. Thank you for that point, making that point. Dan in St. Pete believes there's a political middle. Of course there is. Tell us about it, Dan.
Hey, hello.
Hey.
What I want to say, Dan from St. Pete, is I think there's a middle out there, and I'm so tired of everybody talking about the far right and the far left. I got to think that there's 60% of the folks that are in the middle, center right, center left, or middle. And it's just, you listen to all these radio shows, and everyone's freaking out on both ends of the spectrum. So it's, you know.
Well, I think freaking out in response to an attempted coup is an appropriate response.
I think it is. Thank you, Dan. I'm going to say this. When I told my son last night, he was trying to explain to him how this happens.
Mm-hmm.
I told him when nobody feels safe, we go to war.
Right.
That doesn't matter whether it's a divorce, matters of the heart and families, or militaries of entire states. Let's go to Gary in Dunedin. Gary, tell us about it, Hitler.
Yeah, we need more than a minute on this, but I will be brief.
Okay.
I've just read a book everyone should read called The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich.
Okay.
The parallels between Hitler and Trump are many, but in regards to how the Hitler cult, the Hitler political party, Hitler himself, and Trump, his political party, and especially his evangelical base, view women is the following. Gestation slavery. They're supposed to be popping out good Germans, or in this case, good real Americans. Number two, roll back all the progressive reforms in Germany up until that point so that women would not be able to work outside the home anymore. And their main role is not just as a fetus baker, but also as to serve their husband. Another parallel is that Hitler, although he was not promiscuous and crazy that way like Trump is, mm-hmm. him and all of his boys were perverts, sickos, and had horrible relationships with their mothers, fathers, and women in general.
Got to stop you there, but tell us the author of the book, The Rise of the Third Reich by...
William Shirer.
Got it. Thank you, Gary. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate that information. Rise of Third Reich by William...
Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. It's a classic.
Uh-huh. By...
Thank you.
Again?
William Shirer.
All right, got it.
Best historians, now deceased, of World War II and the rise of Hitler. It's scary more than you know.
Okay, our readers have it.
Let's get these two emails before we wrap up.
Okay.
I can't see them. You gotta read them.
All right, well, we'll just take Gary and Land O'Lakes and then I'll come back to it. Gary, literally have 1 minute. Tell us about the charges.
CG. Yeah.
Happy New Year, warrior women of land.
Happy New Year.
Thank you, CG.
So let's, one of your earlier callers brought up a point about how these people are being charged, which is really disgusting me, with disorderly conduct, trespass, illegal entry, all minor crimes, when they're guilty of sedition and insurrection. And if anyone wants to understand what white privilege is, that tells you it right there. These are white guys that go into an illegal system where they should be charged with a much greater crime than what they were charged with because it's what they were engaged in, insurrection and sedition.
All right, thank you so much, CG, for calling in. We're going to do these last two emails. Liz, do you have them up?
Keep your upon your ass. Stay healthy. Bye.
Thank you, sir. All right. Emails, Liz?
I have the emails, and I don't have my glasses, but I will do my best.
Okay.
So I think there are several thousand people that went to the Trump protest at the Capitol, and maybe 82 people got arrested in the Capitol. Not even. There was like 13 that got arrested at the Capitol. I think these people are probably the craziest of the craziest. Well, we don't support that kind of language because it's ableist, but we understand your context. Out of the Trump supporters, they are a small percentage of the 75 million who voted for Trump. I think there are bigger problems going on in this country. Lots of people in America are hurting, and they foolishly chose Trump as their savior. And it's, all right, let's see.
Peggy says, I think he was rescued by one of the invading gang members. I'm not sure what that means. It's in the article about the singer from Tampa Bay area. I'll try to find it. All right, send it to us, Peggy.
All right. All right. And so, unfortunately, we are... running out of time quickly. And we do appreciate you joining us for Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5. Please join us in 2 weeks and we will continue the discussion looking at a different facet of it.
Yeah, we enjoy you guys as much as you enjoy us. Believe us. Thank you. For hanging out with us.
I like stunning, I like shining, I like million dollar deals, where's my pen?